Volgens 'n woord kom uit 'n gesprek uit wat ek in die week het met iemand. En die gesprek gaan oor, ek is vreesbevange, omdat ek nie seker weet dat ek hemel toe gaan nie. En dit hond my elke dag van my lewe, elke week van my lewe. Ek dink, behalwe vrees, so vier goed wat ek aan gedink het, sekerheid oor die ewige lewe, vrees, last, wat sal nogal bypas? Seker die areas in die lewe waarmee jy elke persoon stoei, elke Christen. Drie, daar is 'n vierde een wat my kop nog nie wil onthou nie. Is drie areas waarmee almal stoei. En die Here het vir my seker so 2 jaar terug, seker die ander een is anger and patience. Almal stoei daarmee. Daai vier areas. En so 2 jaar terug het ek net 'n honger gehad en die Here het dit in my kom sit om te sê, om die woord te verstaan oor sy getrouheid in my redding en my gereed wees wanneer hy terugkom. En ek sê vir Jan vanoggend, ek wil maar ek kan nie. Ek gewoonlik as ek 'n preek voorberei dan het ek so 15 of maksimum 18 skyfies oorskrif en 'n paar notas en goed. En ek het dit gesny tot by 51 vanoggend. So ek gaan nie praat, ek gaan net skrif lees en mag die Here met ons praat deur sy skrif. As jy sien ek praat sonder dat ek die skrif lees, maak my stil en sê gaan terug na die skrif toe. Want anders gaan ons die tyd hê om die skrif te lees, ons moet God so hard hoor oor die skrif. En die vraag vanoggend is, het jy sekerheid oor die ewige lewe vir jou persoonlik? En weet jy wat die woord oor dit leer? Of is jy, soos wat ek baie lank as 'n Christen was, confused oor dit? En dalk vanoggend sit jy hier, soos wat ek was voor ek die woord begin lees het, ek het heeltemal verkeerde geloof daaroor gehad. Ek het nie die woord geken oor dit nie. En as ons vanoggend die woord lees, wil ek jou uitdaag, vir my, ek het vir jou slegte nuus, dit het my 6 maande gevat, vir hierdie skrif van my hart te sny, dat ek totaal oortuig is, oor wat die skrif leer oor dit. It won't be over this morning, for you personally. If you are not going to study the word of God concerning this, you will not have eternal security in your life. And you will not understand it. So ek wil jou regtig uitdaag, miskien is jy 'n klomp van ons wat sê, ek is doodseker, waarin ek gaan as ek die dag wat ek sterf. Ek weet wat die woord daaroor leer. En dan ek is saam met jou opgewonde. Ek dink is seker een van die goed wat die grootste verskille in my lewe gemaak het. When God showed me his heart concerning my internal security. Een van die grootste goed wat verander het in my lewe. Ek dink baie van die goed wat ons probeer leer vir mekaar in die Bybel is onmoontlik en in die kerk en as die liggaam in die selgroepe in die huwelike. It's impossible if we haven't got this truth nailed down and revealed to our hearts, planted in our hearts. Nie 'n mental verstaan daarvan nie, maar in jou hart totale al oortuig oor God se hart. En die vraag vanoggend is, hoekom twyfel ons? Ek dink die eerste ding wat ek sommer wil sê wat vir my laat twyfel het is, ek het gesien hoe dit die kerk verskillende goed leer en dit met die mekaar gemaak. Party ouens het gesê, nee, ons kan nie seker wees nie. Ander ouens gesê, verseker kan ons seker wees. Ander ouens het gesê, jy mag Jesus aangeneem het, maar dit beteken nie jy gaan die hemel toe nie. Jy mag God se gees ontvang het, but you can lose your salvation. En tussen al hierdie dinge, en dan het ek gesê, nee, once saved, always saved. Now that's too easy, man. It's not true. En tussen dit alles het ek gewonder, nou wat gaan hier aan? So, ek wil graag deel van my ontdekkingsreis en ek vanoggend is die laaste woord wat die Here met ons gaan praat oor. Volgende week is ons by Rickert wat praat oor verhoudinge wat aansluit eintlik by ons eerste en ons tweede kwartaal van hierdie jaar. Maar vanoggend is die laaste woord where we going to share about to be secure in God. Om seker te wees in God. Ons het gepraat oor, are your hope secure? Hoekom is die hoop van die opstanding vas in ons lewe? Calvin het kom deel hoe dat die Here vir hom openbaring gegee het, wat is 'n seën van God? We have already received the badge. We're not working to receive it. We're not checking in here and there along the way, putting it up where we've checked in to make sure that we get the end result. No, we received it, therefore we are able to check in with whatever is written in the Word. So ek hoop die woord vanoggend praat met ons. Ek het 'n klomp skrifte geskryf, opgesit, wat uitdrukking gee aan hoekom ons baie keer twyfel. En waar die verskillende leringe vanaf kom. So kom ons luister net na hulle soos wat ons deur dit gaan. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So ons sien, kom ons lees die volgende skrif. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Many will try, but few will enter. So is twee woorde wat ek wil uithaal, en miskien moet ek net eers al die skrifte lees voor ek begin praat. Kom ons lees Markus 13:13 ook. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So hier kom sommer in die skrifte wat ons nou gelees het, kom vir my twee gedagtes uit, wat vir my sê, sjoe, drie goed. Die een sê, if I endure, I will be saved. As ek aanhou tot die einde toe. Die tweede een praat van, without holiness, no one will see God. Die derde een sê, hier's werk in, because it talks about strife. Dit praat van die input wat ek moet gee, om seker te maak. Hierdie drie gedagtes, laat my dink dat eternal life is qualified. Dit het 'n voorvereiste. Wat is die Engels vir 'n voorvereiste? A prerequisite. It is conditional. Dit is miskien 'n mooi uitdrukking in die Engels. It is conditional. En omdat het conditional is, I start to doubt whether I make the condition. Okay, kom ons gaan aan. Volgende skrifte. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, wat die vyand wil hê, ek moet hoor in hy skrif, if I'm not faithful, I won't receive the crown of life. So, be uncertain until death. It's what you can hear from it. Colossians 1:22, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Hoor julle dieselfde tema? It is conditional, not shifting, not wavering, not walking away. If we do, we will not receive it. So it can leave you insecure. Right, kom ons lees volgende. So, the one, Revelation 3:5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Die skrifgedeelte sê iets van, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. En wat ek hoor, wat ons kan interpreteer uit die skrif uit is, if you're not going to do it, I'll blot out your name from the book of life. Okay, ons kan het hoor in dit. Ek wil net seker maak, ek het so 2 of 3 notaatjies gemaakt hier, wat ek net wil seker maak. So, ek het gesê, ons moet hard werk, daar's 'n strewe. Ek wil hê ons moet sien, soos wat ons die skrif aanhou leef. Lees, dit is waar, but God says, you're not alone in it. I've committed myself to you in the process to holiness and completion of the work that he started within you. You're not alone in it. Iets wat ek hoop wat julle ook sien, soos wat ons deur die skrif gaan. The moment we hear something is conditional, it cannot be certain. Jy moet nou dink oor dit, dit gaan nie vanself kom hê. As iets voorwaardelik is, beteken dit is onseker. Dis ons geneigtheid. Die vraag, en wat jy vanoggend moet hoor soos ons die skrif lees, is, it is conditional, but it can also be certain. The fact that it is conditional does not make it uncertain. Okay, net die gedagte, jy hoef dit nou te verstaan, ek wil hê jy moet hoor hoe die skrif dit vir ons bevestig. En waarmee ons sukkel, hoekom ons insecure is from time to time is, because we see the condition, and we worry, will we make it? And we think, We're not able to make it. And some will teach it to us. There is a condition. Beware lest you fall short of the glory of God. Okay, so kom ons gaan al die skrifte. Ek het myself uitgedaag om almal se lering oor dit te lees. Ek wou weet, as ek na John Bevere se teaching vir week baie respek het, luister, en hy sê, I'm preaching to the church, because you can lose your salvation, dan wil ek weet, hoekom ek nie met John Bevere se teaching saamstem nie. I want to be convinced that the word of God teaches differently, and I want to understand it. I want to read the difficult scriptures, and understand it in the light of the word of God, the rest of the word of God. Ek sien hoe ons baie keer as ons iets leer, we only read the scriptures that puts it forward. And we ignore that differs from it. Ja, and dit is, it's not good theology. It will never bring security. It will never be coherent. We must be able to present God coherent, not divided. And when we don't bring the scriptures that seems to oppose one another together with clarity, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, there will be not clarity. We'll be insecure. A divided God leaves us insecure. But a coherent beteken samebindend. Een wat homself nie weerspreek nie. Een wat sin maak van hier tot daar. Okay, so ek hoop, dit is wat ons vanoggend sien, soos ons, ek is jammer, ons is net by skyfie 7. Die vraag soos wat ons die skrif lees waaroor jy moet dink is, ons hoor voorwaardelik, en die vraag is, hoor jy sekerheid, en sien jy dat God van in staat is om die sekerheid te volbring? Hoor jy wat ek vraag? Ons hoor daar's a condition that needs to be met. It can leave you insecure, if you don't believe that God is the power and the will to bring the condition to life in your life. So, die vraag wat jy jouself moet vra is, die voorwaarde waaraan voldoen moet word vir ewige lewe, het God die mag en die wil om daai voorwaarde in jou lewe te vestig? Okay, dis wat ons moet sien, of ons dit raak sien in die woord. So, hierdie skrif van Revelations 3:5 is een van die skrifte wat die kerk gebruik om vir Christene te sê, jou naam kan uit die lewe van die boek gevee word. En my vraag is, staan dit in hierdie skrif? Kom ons lees hom weer. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Die Here sê, die een wat conquer, ek sal nooit sy naam uit die boek van die lewe skryf nie. And what we do is we say, so if you don't conquer, I'm gonna wipe your name. It's not standing. Sien jy dat dit nie hier staan nie? Dit staan nie hier so nie. So ek gaan vir jou, want, en wat ons moet sien, net soos wat ek die woord bestudeer het, is hoe ons een skrif in die boek, in een specifieke boek uithaal, en sê, Hebrews tells you you can lose your salvation. And we find 6 or 7 scriptures in Hebrews that's saying the opposite. So we misusing that one scripture. It's not what it says. We need to look differently at it. Because we said that the word of God is coherent. Die woord van God weerspreek hom nie. So ek wil sommer net na 2 skrifte toe gaan wat sê, jy kan nie hierdie skrif interpreteer dat God moontlik jou naam kan uitvee nie. Al wat het hierso sê is, die een wat tot die einde toe hardloop, sy naam sal nooit gevee word nie. It's as far as you can go with the scripture. Kom ons blaai om na 2 skrifte in Revelations. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. This is Satan. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life. Wat sê die skrif? Almal wie se name nie in die boek van die lewe geskryf staan nie, sal Satan aanbid. Dit beteken, as jou naam in die boek van die lewe geskryf is, you will not worship Satan. You will see him for who he is. Hierdie skrif sê nie dat hy bevestig, hy is die voorwaarde wat in 3 vers 5 gevra word, hierdie een gee vir jou 'n belofte daarvoor. Die Here sê, as jou naam in die boek van die lewe is, you won't worship him. Kom ons kyk net, daar's nog 'n skrif in hoofstuk 17. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast. So, hierdie skrifgedeelte sê, Net die ouens wat se name nie in die boek van die lewe staan nie, will marvel at Satan. Gee vir jou die versekering, as jou naam in die boek van die lewe geskrywe is, you will not marvel at Satan. So, ons kan nie Openbaring 3 vers 5 gebruik om te sê, watch out, your name can be blotted. Die oorwinning wat benodig word, the enduring to the end, word deur Jesus self verseker. It's a done deal. Een van die skrifte wat my uitgedaag het in my studies is John 15. Wat sê John 15 wat jou uitdaag? Johannes 15. Wat in Johannes 15 laat jou dink, hey, ek dink ons kan dalk Revelation 3, 5 so interpreteer, dat jou naam gevee kan word. Kom ons lees gou vers 2 en vers 6. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, hierdie skrifgedeelte daag ons uit, want hier staan 'n skrif wat sê, elke tak in my wat nie vrugte dra nie, gaan ek wegneem. It sounds like someone can be in Christ and be taken away. Okay? We agree with that. Kom ons lees vers 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away, thrown into the fire and burnt. Okay, so John 15 daag het uit. Ons gaan nou vra, wat maak ons met John 15? Ek lees 'n klompie skrif wat vir ons laat verstaan hoekom die kerk verskillende dinge leer en hoekom ons as Christene soms twyfel. Kom ons lees Filippense 2 vers 12 en 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, as in my presence, but much more in my absence. And then it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Nou, gaan gou terug na 12 toe. If we only listen to this verse, we can think, if you only take this verse, you can think it depends upon you, yourself, to work out your salvation. But read the next verse and see how God promises to enable you how to do it. Verse 13. Therefore, my beloved, as for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Dit is God wat jou in staat stel om jou redding uit te werk en te voltooi. So what do we see in the scripture? And it is something that we think opposes one another. But here we see it next to one another in the scriptures. The one is responsibility and the second one is sovereignty. And we get confused. We think if we have a responsibility, then God cannot be sovereign. And if God is sovereign, we don't have a responsibility. Julle hoor dit, hoe ons sukkel om dit te verstaan, lang gesukkel om dit te verstaan. Daarom het ek gesê, as jy vanoggend hierdie goed hoor, hopefully, miskien vang jy dit vinniger as ek. It took me 6 months to study the scriptures and to sit and let God show me that my responsibility and his sovereignty can be present at the place of truth at once. God se soewereiniteit en jou verantwoordelikheid is teenwoordig. And that's the godly place to be. Daai vir ons 'n oplossing vir ons vra. Okay. So soos wat ons sien, jy het 'n verantwoordelikheid, that's the strife and the workout of your salvation and to be holy. But God says, you are not alone in that. I'm with you to present you holy and blameless at the end. So, soos wat ek lees, wil ek graag, ek het nog skrifte, daar is 'n skrif vir julle wat het al gelees het in Hebreërs 6, wat 'n baie uitdagende skrif is. Wat sê, die een wat een keer die lig gesien het, die goedheid van God gesmaak het, in hom gedeel het, and then walk away. It's unable to bring him back to repentance. So, ons moet die moeilike skrifte kan antwoord. We can't just leave them aside and say, once saved, always saved is true. Or go to the other side. Now you can lose your salvation, but we never tend to the scriptures where God says he will complete it. We've got to bring it together and say, how does it make sense? Ja, en ek moet sê, toe ek John Bevere se teaching weer gaan kyk, ek is net dood. Ek sê vanmiddag, ek is dood eenvoudig teleurgesteld met sy hantering van die skrif. En hoe dat hy, hoe dat hy hanteer. is nie goed nie. So ek gaan gou 'n klompie skrifte lees wat die teenoorgestelde sê. Ons het gelees vir John 15 wat ons laat wonder, tak wat afgesny word, een wat weggeneem word en die vuur gegooi word, wat gaan aan hierso? Ons sien dat as jy nie tot die einde te volhou nie, you won't receive. Kom ons lees skrifte waar die Here met ons kom praat. 1 Tessalonisense 5 vers 23-24, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Who will sanctify you completely? Your strife, your working heart, it's God that commits him to that. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus, of Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. So if we say you can lose your salvation, what will we do with the scripture? Kom ons lees. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and I say, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. So I say, you are born again to this hope, and this hope is unfading. It means you can't receive it and lose it. You either received it and will see it, or you haven't received it. It says, this hope, this inheritance, is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. And who guards that? You? It says, God guards it. Thank God, because I will not be able to guard it. Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. May God do that. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end? Hoor jy die skrifte wat, daar's 'n voorwaarde. You need to run till the end. Can you see in all the scriptures that you've read up to now? God says, I'm with you in it. I will sustain you. Abide in me. Don't run it. It's not depending upon you. You can't do it on your own. Come to me. I'll do it for you. That's what God is teaching you. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Ja, die Bybel, ek sê vir my nou, ek het so opgewonde as ek lees om te sien hoe God homself verbind daaraan, aan elkeen wat sy gees ontvang het, en wat hom aangeneem het, to run with us until the end. Jude 1, 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. It's him who is able and stumbling, able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Ek wil hê jy moet sien, hier's twee goed hierso. It speaks again of God's faithfulness. En dan sê hy, ons sien ook dat die voorwaarde is ook in hierdie vers teenwoordig. Wat is die voorwaarde? Die voorwaarde word net hier 'n bietjie anders gestel. Die voorwaarde sê, ons is sy huis, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Hierdie skrifgedeelte sê is, jy is sy huis as jy vashou. Dit sê nie, jy is sy huis en jy kan dit verloor nie. Dit sê dit, jy sê huis as jy aanhou tot die einde toe. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose, unchangeable, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. Dis daai hoop wat hy vir ons kom gee, is vas. If I can lose it, can I be sure? Ek kan nie. It's not an anchor if I can lose it. Hebreërs 13 vers 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God can take away the life that he has given to you, what do we do with the scripture? Sure, in die Ou Testament so 'n mooi skrif gekry, Jeremia 32 vers 40. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn away from me. God says, this is the new covenant. The old covenant, they kept on walking away from me. The new covenant, I will put something inside of you that will be a seal and a promise and power to keep you not walking away from God. This is the new covenant. God saying, you will not walk away from me. Not because of you, but because of my spirit that I have put inside of you. My spirit in you is my seal, my promise to you that you will be ready when I return. You cannot lose it. Jesus sê hierso, en baie van die leringe wat ons kry om te sê, once saved, always saved, is irresponsible, it's not true, it says, because you have the choice to walk away from God. God will never walk away from you, but you have the choice to walk away from him. What we see through all these scriptures that we've read now, is God says, I commit myself to you in a way that you will not walk away. Of sien julle dit nie in die skrif wat ons lees nie? Sien julle dit in die skrif? God sê, dis ek wat gaan maak dat jy getrou is. Nie jy nie, want jy kan nie. Het is wat ek in jou hart kom doen en kom sê. Het ek met Marinda oor het praat, toe vra Marinda vir my, maar wat van so en so? Miskien sit jy ook vir oggend hier so, goeie vriend van my, wat ek dink die woord beter as my, as ek ken, ek praat met hom oor hierdie gedagte, hy sê vir my, sjoeg, ek kan nie met jou saamstem nie. Hy sê vir my, ek het nou weer een familielid wat lank saam met ons in die kerk was. She's walked away completely. Completely. She lost it, everything. There's no sign of God in her life. En ek wil net skrif lees om te vra, hoe antwoord die Bybel dit? Nie, hoe antwoord ek het nie. Ons hoop, as ons die skrif lees, vra ons, maar wat van die persone wat het gelyk het? God is here. God is busy in their lives. I've prayed with him in front in church, or at his home, or wherever. But he's completely gone. He's walked away from God. So, vir my is daar een ding wat ons moet voor plek hê, is, daar is altyd plek vir iemand om voor sy dood terug te kom. Okay, daar is altyd plek vir dit. But we do see people that walk away and never comes back. And the question is, did they lose their salvation? Het hulle verloor waar hulle begin het of nie? So, hoe antwoord die woord dit? Miskien een skrif wat het vir my opsom, 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain, that they all are not of us. Hierdie skrif som eintlik alles wat ons tot nou toe gesê het op. En dit gee een antwoord. Ek gaan nie ons kan nie ons geloof en ons doktrine op een skrif bou nie. So ek wil 'n klomp skrif lees wat presies hierdie ding sê. Presies hierdie waarheid. So hierdie skrif sê presies wat ons tot nou toe gesê het. If you are of the household, God has committed him to you that you will endure to the end. Which means, if I don't endure to the end and never come back, I was never part of the household. I did not lose anything. I was never part. And that's even more scary. And the whole word, Jesus has been teaching that in the 3.5 years he's been teaching to the people. He says, you think you're of me, but you're not. The danger is there. The danger is not losing my salvation. Kom ons luister hoe Jesus dit geleer het, hoe die woord dit leer. Hebreërs 3 vers 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end. It just says, if we do not hold to our original confidence, we never shared in Christ. That's what it says. It says, you have, the condition is just the fruit of where you began. Die voorwaarde dat jy tot die einde toe moet hardloop, bewys of jy in Christus aandeel het of nie. Dit praat nie daarvan, ek het van hom aandeel gehad en ek het aandeel verloor. Dit sê ek het nooit aandeel van hom gehad nie. So daar skrif sê in kort, as ons stop, het ons nooit deel aan Christus gehad nie. Kom ons dink gou in die Nuwe Testament, wat is die mooiste voorbeeld, maar wat van so en so? Man met 'n naam in die Nuwe Testament. Wat? Judas. Judas is die eerste voorbeeld wat ons kry van iemand wat sê, but he took part in everything. Hy was ook by toe hulle hom uitgestuur het, om te gaan wonderwerke doen. Hulle kom hier terug en sê, Judas kon dit reg kry nie. Wat bevestig wat in Matteus 7 staan, wat staan in Matteus 7? Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, en sê, ons het wonderwerke in jou naam gedoen, geprofeteer in jou naam. Sê, wat sê hy? Gaan weg, julle het weggedraai van my af. Wat sê Matteus 7? Hy sê, gaan weg, ek het jou nooit geken nie. You never had part in me. So Judas is een voorbeeld van iemand wat gelyk het, vir mense rondom hom, moes hy gelyk het soos een wat deel het aan die koninkryk van God. Kom ons lees wat sê Jesus self oor hom. While I was with them, dis Jesus wat praat, Johannes 17 vers 12, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So in die Ou Testament het ek eens psalm gekry wat so 'n mooi uitdrukking gee aan wat gebeur met iemand soos Judas. Wat gaan dan nou hier aan? Wat moet ons sien in die fariseërs se lewens? Wat moet ons sien in mense se lewens wat saam met ons lank die Here gedien het en nou lyk dit of dan niks aangaan nie? Wat moet ons sien in hulle lewens? So, kom ons lees Hebreërs 3 vers 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. So iemand kan ook sê, die Nuwe Testament praat baie van, en veral hier in Timoteus sê dit, at the end there will be a great falling away. People will be walking away from God. En wat ek wil hê wat jy moet sien is, daai wat wegstap, is those with an evil, unbelieving heart, and they are falling away. There seems to be attachment to Christ. There seems to be attachment to the word of God, and to his ways, and to the church. But in their hearts, they were never changed. Ons gaan dit nou lees. So, want iemand kan argumenteer, how can there be a falling away if they won't be, they've never been part? Ons gaan nou na, excuse vir al die skrif, maar Psalm 95 vers 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day of Massa, in the wilderness. Hulle praat hier van die Jode, van Israel wat getrek het. When your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. It's people who have seen everything that has been amongst where God is working, and God's word is preached, and His Spirit is working, and His love is given and received. And in their hearts, it never changed them. They walked away from it. Wat ek sien, net drie woorde oor daai Psalm 95. They have seen, they've hardened their hearts, and they've walked away. Kom ons lees Hebreërs 6, moeilike skrifgedeelte. Kom ons luister of Hebreërs 6, en wat ek jou wil uitdaag, as Hebreërs 6 jou na vanoggend nog steeds uitdaag, vat al die ander skrifte oor Hebreërs wat ons gelees het, en gaan lees het saam met Hebreërs 6, en vra of die interpretatie van Hebreërs 6 is, iemand wat Godse gees ontvang het en weggestap het, of ons het so kan interpreteer, as jy al die ander skrifte in Hebreërs gaan lees, en I'm convinced you will see, we cannot interpret it in that way. Although at first glance it sounds like it. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. Kan jy die skrif lees en sien dat dit jou uitdaag om te sê, maar is hierdie nie 'n gelowige wat ons hiervan praat nie? Is dit nie iemand wat Jesus geken het nie? And I want to read another scripture where Jesus self is teaching in Luke, die parable van die sower. En ek wil jou uitdaag, as jy die ander gedeeltes van Hebreërs gaan lees, of Hebreërs 6, dit sê, of verwys Hebreërs 6 na wat ons in Psalm 95 gelees het. Kan jy sien dat die Israeliete het alles geervaar wat in Hebreërs 6 beskrywe word. They've seen God operated. Sy voorsiening, sy lig, sy glorie, sy teenwoordigheid. And they still went astray and walked away from Him. So, kom ons lees in Lukas 8, ons ken allemaal hierdie gedeelte. And the ones on the rock, this is the parable of the sower, are those who when they heard the word received it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Twee voorbeelde van saad, wat gesaai word, die teenwoordigheid van God, wat lyk of het die effect het in iemand se lewe, but as soon as it is tested, we see there's no truth in it. There's no substance in it. It just withered away and disappeared. Dieselfde patroon as die Israeliete. So, Matthew 7, verse 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, your workers of lawlessness. So, hierdie skrifgedeelte, voel ek, is 'n opsomming van 1 John 5:11, wat sê, hulle wat van ons al weggegaan het, was nooit deel van ons gewees. They were never truly part of the household of God. So die vraag, as ons hierdie skrif, julle met hierdie skrif gaan lees, gaan bestudeer, gaan grawe, soek nog, daar's nog baie wat ek kan bysit. As jy dit gaan lees, is daar een van twee vrae wat jy moet antwoord is. And I believe what the scriptures is telling is, once you have received the Spirit of God in you, He has committed Himself to you that you will receive eternal life. And it is by His work that you will finish the race. Not your own. We do have a responsibility in that, but it does not take away the sovereignty of God. I believe that is what the scriptures teaches. Wat hy daarmee saam teach, is in wie se lewens wat dit nie 'n transformation veroorsaak in hulle lewens nie. And who does not endure to the end. The word teaches they've never been part from the beginning. So the question we need to ask ourselves, and dit is hoekom Paulus het skryf aan die gemeente van Korinthe, test your faith to make sure that it is real faith. En ek dink is 1 Korinthe 13 as ek het reg het. The question is not, am I secure, will I make it to the end? The scripture says yes, if you've got the spirit of God, is oortuig vir my, you will. The question is, do I have the spirit of God? That's the question. Not whether God will sustain me to the end. En daarom wil ek net een skrif miskien oor dit lees. Wat so waarmee ek vanoggend elke ou wil bemoedig wat die gees van God het. Sy karakter, sy getrouheid en sy krag is able to sustain you to the end and do not doubt God in that. Kan ek dit weer sê vir elkeen van ons wat twyfel in dit? If you have received the spirit of God, God is committed to you to help you to endure to the end. You don't have to depend on yourself. As you did not depend upon yourself to get saved, you do not have to depend on yourself to endure to the end. Do you see that it's not coherent to say, hier's ek afhanklik van God om redding na my toe te bring, maar dit hang van my af, of ek tot die, it's not coherent. God is the one who brings us and keeps us. Wat die lering doen, daarvan om vir jou te sê, Tiaan, het hang van jou af op die einde, of jy dit tot die einde maak, it turns him, that turns Tiaan to himself. If we say, you are dependent upon God, Tiaan, to make it to the end, it turns you to the God. We want doctrine that turns us to God, not to self. Kom ons lees die laaste, ek dink ons is na by die einde. Romans 8 verse 14 and 16, and we haven't got time this morning to go through this, but this is, if we can, and you as a person can testify to the scripture, you have internal life. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So the first question you have to ask is, am I led by the Spirit of God? For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, waaroor Colin last week gepraat het, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba Father. So my question in your heart is there a humble, honest outcry, Abba Father, through the walk of your life to God? It's a second thing you can ask yourself. Is daar 'n oorspronklike, innige, nederige en afhanklike uitroep in jou hart to say, Father, I want you to walk with me. And then there's a third thing, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So do we have that witnessing in your own personal life of the Spirit of God, not you witnessing? Do you hear? It's the Spirit of God that is witnessing. That's different than me witnessing. And me witnessing, it takes us into works. Dit is die plek waar ek sê, hierdie is onmoontlik vir my gewees. On my own, I would not have been able to do this. Praise God. His Spirit has done this in and through me. And it looks more like the fruit of the Spirit than the gifts of the Spirit. Because we've seen a warning. The gifts of the Spirit, it's not a sure sign that the Spirit of God is working in you. It is rather the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus says, have you loved them? Het jy hulle omgegee? Het jy hulle na die armes omgesien? Het jy aangehou met die een wat nie wil hoor nie? So it is by the fruit of the Spirit and the testimony of that, your ability to forgive, your ability to repent. That's the work of the Spirit. It's not a work of a hardened heart. It's the testimony of the Spirit is working in you. En ek wil dan afsluit voor ek vir ons weer twee skrifte lees van God se belofte. Daarom vir my internal life is a community project. You won't be able to stand on your own. I need to tell Denzel, Denzel, I can see the Spirit of God working in you. I just want to affirm you in that. You're a blessing to us. We need to hear that from people around us. And that brings us to a responsibility, because die Heilige Gees se testimony is nie 'n stem wat in jou oor fluister nie, because I think that's the way the devil works. Now you're a son of God, relax. That's not the way that the Spirit testifies. It testifies through your walk and through your attitude and the hardness of your heart, or the brokenness of your heart before God. That's the Spirit of God that is testifying, not whispering in your ear. The devil does that. Hy sal vir elke ongelowige in sy oor wil fluister. Laaste twee skrifte, beloftes van God. Kom ons sluit af met wat God sê vir elkeen in wie sy gees, in wie sy gees rus. John 10:27. That's one reason we say John 15 cannot mean a child of God can be taken away. We should rather see John 15 in the light of the parable of the sower. We should rather see John 15 as people amongst us tasting the goodness and the love and the word of God, and there's never any fruit. The Spirit never bears fruit in their lives. And God says about those, they will end up in the fire. Hoor julle, John 15 maak meer sin in dit, in die lig van al die skrifte wat ons gelees het. Want John homself het integriteit. Hy sal nie op een plek een ding skryf en op 'n ander plek iets anders skryf nie. So hoor wat sê John in hoofstuk 10 vers 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. I give them eternal life. If God gives you life and takes it away, have you received eternal life? No, you haven't. Temporary life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. God is committing himself to everyone that has received his Spirit. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8 and 9. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship. God is faithful. He will sustain you to the end. So I want us to know that once you have received the Spirit of God, eternity is a done deal. En ek hoor hoe dat ons in die kerk uit fear uit operate en sê, if you say that to someone, he can go and do whatever he likes. Someone, and the whole scriptures is full of it. If you have received the Spirit of God, you will not do that. That will just be a sure sign that you haven't got the Spirit of God. So eenvoudig soos dit. So we don't have to be in fear that if we teach this, someone will go away and just start to sin because eternal life is secure. It will be a sure sign you haven't got the Spirit of God. As we've said, the resurrection power of God is present in your life when you live a life that you have laid down. A lewe wat afgelê is. Kom ons bid saam. Ek wil julle uitdag, stoei met dit, wrestle with it. As Denzel has said, amen, dit is in my lewe een van die belangrikste ankers wat ek dink wat ons nodig het om in ons hart heeltemal oortuig te wees van. God will be faithful to the end because of the Spirit of him that is in you. En laat dit ons hoop gee, laat dit ons vreugde gee, laat dit alle veer wegvat, of ek wiskunde goed of sleg geskryf het, doesn't matter. Kom ons bid saam. So Here Jesus, baie dankie vir vanoggend. Dankie Here dat u woord duidelik is. Dat u, wanneer u self aan ons verbind het, deur die gees in ons te sit. And we are led by your Spirit, Father. And your Spirit testifies within us, crying out, Abba, Father. We can be secure in our internal hope, Lord. And thank you, Father, this security does not turn us away from you, but it turns us to you. It gives us more power and more willingness to lay down our lives for your kingdom, Father. And I pray this morning, Father, for each one here that has received your Spirit, Father, to be secure in you, not to waver, not to believe the lies of the devil, Lord, but to be secure and to be planted, to be steadfast, to know there's an internal hope, Father, that is guarded by your power and your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, as John, your disciple, has continually said, you are the one that loves us, and we reckon upon that, Lord, not upon our love, because our love, Father, comes and goes and is unstable. Here, ek bid dat ons in die klein groepe tyd sal spandeer, Here, om hierdie skrifte te lees and to understand it, Lord. Will you cut our hearts, Father? Will you plant our hearts in this truth that you are able, you are willing, and you are faithful to keep us to the end, Lord. En ek bid, Here, soos wat ons openbaring van dit ontvang, Here, that we are able to give even more of ourselves, Lord, because we know that you are in control and completely leading us through your Spirit in a resurrected life, Father. Ek bid die seën, Here, oor elkeen in die naam van Jesus. Ek bid, Here, sommer vir die verhoudinge waar die elkeen dalk iemand uitnooi om saam by Rieker te kom sit en na verhoudinge te luister, Here. Ek wil vra, Vader, dat u vir ons sal help om net u aangesig te soek om te hoor wie bring ons saam, Here. Maybe it's someone at work, Father, that needs to hear your good news and with whom I want to walk in better relationship. Ek bid, Here Jesus, dat u in ons gemeenskap net 'n vrymoedigheid sal bring om saam te kom en in mekaar se teenwoordigheid na jou hart te luister oor verhouding. Ons bid al die dinge in Jesus se naam. Amen.